They've got a number of categories, like I said, some in IT, both hardware and software, some of the laboratory supplies, maintenance repair and operations, JanSan, wireless, and several other categories that we're now working with them to say, what is the solution? You know, again, like we've talked about before, it doesn't mean in all those categories there's one government-wide contract. No, we're putting that commodity under management with an executive agent that has a deep content knowledge and all of the large buyers at the table, along with the Small Business Administration, to make sure that we figure out what the right solution is. Some cases that will mean reduced contract duplication and better leveraging our spend and driving volume-based discounts. And in other cases, this more terms and conditions, taking administrative costs out of the system type approach. And we're in a dialogue there where some of them you'll see coming out, you know, in the near future, and others we're still figuring out what is right answer, but we've clearly defined the opportunity. We think yes, both the Strategic Sourcing Leadership Council has said yes, let's go pursue it. OFPP says that makes a lot of sense.
There seems to be different terms and conditions the way they're written. What's the process by which you are standardizing them? You mentioned the Strategic Sourcing Leadership Council. What work are they doing to kind of say, here's a template maybe, or here's some best practices?
The Strategic Sourcing Leadership Council that you referenced, comprised of the seven largest spending agencies as well as the Small Business Administration, is looking at, pursuant to the December 6th OMB memo, a number of categories in which strategic sourcing solutions make sense. In each of those categories, that doesn't mean we need to stand up a single contract or funnel all the dollars to a single contract. In all categories, it means putting that spend under management, really managing that commodity. And in some categories, that means taking costs out of the system by standardizing terms and conditions. You've got folks with a lot of contracts, you know, service providers that have 1,000 different contracts. So those bid and proposal costs get passed on the government. Can we reduce duplication, take those costs out of the system? Terms and conditions. If we standardize more of the terms and conditions around best practice examples, then we can, one, take the duplication costs out of the system, but two, take the cost being driven by some of those terms and conditions out of the system. Example, we look at software, and one of the things that we found is in certain categories, agencies are entering into contracts that have true up licensing provisions. So as we add more seats, we pay for more license. Makes perfect sense. But no true down provisions. So if our needs are reduced and we utilize fewer licenses, we pay less. That's not in there. That makes no sense. It would never happen in the private sector. And we've got to make sure we're standardizing around things like that. Or software assurance, where we pay a premium for software licenses to smooth the curve of updates and patches and all those types of things, versus figuring out a way to overcome the budgetary peaks that happen if you're going to try to update all of your licenses at once, but you pay a much lower total cost. So those are just some examples, but why it's important that it's not just, you know, yeah, we're going to have these X number of vendors on this one contract provide this commodity service, but in some cases it makes more sense to standardize some of the ways that we buy and capture the savings that way.
One of the things around terms and conditions that falls into is that you have the 80-20 rule. 80% of what everyone does is the same as the 20% that you tweak. I mean, is that where you're looking at, say, if we can get 80% standardized and when tweak it 20%, then that's where some cost savings could come from?
Yes, that Pareto 80-20 principle is absolutely where we would look, so that it's not like if you have some special clauses that are necessary based on a type of acquisition or your agency, that you're now not part of this dialogue. Not at all. Let's build the strongest possible base of commonality and then figure out what to do with the things on the periphery. You know, there are some big questions there, such as, you know, when you do certain acquisitions, all of the Section 800 provisions from the NDAA that DOD has that nobody else has, or a few other agencies have, how do you manage that? But let's look at it as almost like a modular, okay, that's in one piece, but we've got a big base of common needs, common terms, common conditions we can all live with, and then from that we can add the specialized things, but it'll result in the majority of dollars going through a very similar standardized path. Again, it makes it easier for industry. This is the win-win that we're always pushing for. Industry wants this. Agencies want this. It makes it faster, makes it better, it makes it cheaper.
Is there a time frame? Do you hope to have some kind of template out this summer, early fall? What's your planning timing around this?
It's rolling based on the category, because there are the general FAR principles and things that are clauses that are in all contracts. But then most of these terms and conditions that truly drive cost, or said in a more positive way, can drive savings, are commodity category specific. And so it's a rolling basis. The SSLC has said go forward in some IT categories, janitorial and sanitation supplies, maintenance, repair, and operation supplies, and a number of others, laboratory supplies. And in those categories, this is starting right now, and they're actually developing that timeline with the milestones that you just asked about. And then we'll continue to pick up new commodity categories so that we're doing this in an ongoing rolling fashion.
One of the outstanding questions that continues to come up, and you heard it today at the Coalition for Government Procurement Conference, is the small business piece to strategic sourcing. And I'm going to preface this with, I know that small businesses have done a better job under office supplies. They've gotten a higher percentage of total dollars than they did under federal supply schedule. And I know that they're still, it's only getting about $200 to $300 million of the $1 billion spend. We've had this conversation before, so I'm going to kind of take you maybe in a different direction. Is there concern that the competition piece is going to come back and kind of bite you from behind because you are limiting competition to 15 instead of 100 or 150, and that price issue is going to catch up with you eventually? And how are you making sure you're not going to get kind of bit from behind from that competition issue where all of a sudden you look back and go, oh, we are paying higher prices?
First of all, taking away my best talking points in the question is a new one, but I like that. I'm going to play along. I wouldn't say that concern. I would say more positively, saying we are very cognizant of the fact and we're being very thoughtful of what the right solution is in terms of constant refresh of competition. So how do you create a refresh cycle that's long enough that the winners, who won because they really stepped up and provided great price and low-cost solutions to the government, get the benefit of the volume that is the trade-off in the deal, but frequent enough that, to your point, we're keeping a robust market in that commodity category. We're making sure that small businesses who were unsuccessful offers in the first iteration are still able to compete, understand where they fell short, and if they're able to improve the quality of the price or what the gap was, that they can compete in the next round and all of those types of things. That's absolutely a key tenet of our thinking as we develop the strategy on rolling this out. So I think, yes, I'm a firm believer that strategic sourcing and small business utilization can be mutually beneficial, not mutually exclusive, but I am very eyes wide open on the fact that we need to make sure, given the size of government spend, that we don't create a captured marketplace where we've now in any way negatively affected the pricing agencies get over the long term because of a reduction in the number of potential suppliers or the competitive dynamics of that industry. And I know that that's top of mind, and I think it's going to be a really important strategic point as we move forward.